Hello, friends. We're back again. It's youtube.com/Fightful. Well, I guess we're not really back again because, you know, this is the first post-Impact Wrestling show. It is May 19th. I am Joel Pearl. Some of you have seen me before talking about other stuff, or you know me from Fightful Overbooked, you know me from the Twitch, but I'm here to talk about post-Impact Wrestling, and I am here with my new friend, my new colleague, and my new review partner, Cresta. How are you doing?
Hi. Hello, everyone. And also, hi, Joel. How are you?
Wonderful. People may not know you yet. Give me a little bit about yourself so people actually know a little bit about Cresta. Like, what do you do? What's your foray into wrestling? What do you love? Tell me.
So my name is Cresta Starr. I have a larger TikTok following, and I mainly cover AEW and WWE, but I do dabble in the Impact New Japan realm and Ring of Honor. I am an avid professional wrestling fan. I want professional wrestling to succeed and thrive and be great. And anytime I can promote it, I'm here. Plus, you might know me if you're on TikTok for the Cody Rhodes remix, which I cannot say on stream, but Adrenaline. So there we go.
Go check out Cresta. You can check her out on Twitter, and then she's got a link tree. It's got all of her stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. It's good to see everyone in the chat. It's good to see a bunch of Impact Wrestling fans, a bunch of Fightful fans. By the way, if you go over, check out Fightful Select, where there is an interview with Jonathan Gresham, some notes up there where he talks about his time in Impact Wrestling and what's going on over there. And we got a little bit about Stephanie McMahon, who's in the news today for she is taking a step back from her duties at WWE. But we're not talking about WWE here. We're talking about Impact Wrestling, and we're talking about the show here on May 19th. See No Evil Day. For those who know, you know. We got Slammiversary in a month, June 19th. We're starting the build. Cresta, are you getting excited for Slammiversary? Is there anything that really jumped out to you tonight that gets you more excited for Slammiversary?
So I just found out about the Briscoes. So the Briscoes wrestling any match, I'm here for. Also, the Queen of the Mountain match, the first ever historic, announced by Gail Kim. It doesn't get any better than that. And I was super excited because I am a fan of Jordynne Grace. And I'm always going to put my coins on Jordynne Grace. So that I'm looking really forward to.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff at Slammiversary. I mean, you mentioned Queen of the Mountain. It looks like they're going to pay homage to a ton of the history of TNA wrestling, of Impact wrestling. We're going to see Ultimate X. We opened up the show with Laredo Kid and Speedball Mike Bailey in a qualifier match. By the way, friends, if you donate a super chat or you donate a humper chat, it'll get your question or statement read on the air. We love you in the chat. But if you want to talk about it in full with us, you want your question or statement read on the air, and you want to support us, go ahead, do the super chat, do the humper chat. Are you familiar? Because you're new here, Cresta Starr. You're new here.
I'm brand new. Spanking new.
Have you heard of the Humper Chats yet? It's your first day. You can say no. It's okay.
No, I do not. I'm sorry, teacher. I do not.
No, it's okay. If you go, because there are a lot of new friends here in the chat. If you go to humperchats.com, it is a Streamlabs platform. It allows us to keep a little bit more of the share because the Googs, they take a little bit more on the Super Chat side. But whatever you want to do, it works. It'll get your question statement right on the air. If you go over humperchats.com, supports us directly, or the super chat, you got that little dollar sign in the bottom of the window in the chat here on youtube.com/Fightful. Donate any amount, question, statement, right on the air. And we'll start, before we talk about Laredo Kid and Speedball, Alan Khan starts us off and he asks, I hope for Slammiversary and 20th anniversary that AJ Styles is the 2022 inductee into the TNA, or the Impact Wrestling in this case, Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts? What do you think? AJ Styles making an appearance, crossing over from WWE for a night? What do you think?
While highly unlikely, that would be phenomenal. No pun intended. But AJ Styles is a star, and he really put in the work in Impact, TNA, and I think it would be nice. I mean, I feel like Kurt Angle or somebody else crossed over. Rob Van Dam did another show while he was still under somebody's contract. So it's possible. I would love that. And I think AJ Styles more than 20 times over deserves it. Is it likely, though? I don't know. I don't know. It would be nice.
Once upon a time, Ric Flair was the guy that they wanted to put in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And then they got, or no, was it? There was it was the Ric Flair and Christian exchange. That's what it was. And now my brain is blanking, but I'm sure someone in the chat's going to remember.
My brain is also going like this in this moment. Like
there's a whole thing, but basically it all ended up with Christian getting put in. Yeah. WWE let Christian make the appearance. It was a whole balagan. It was a mess. But anyway, Ryan Lambert sends a super chat. Thank you. Says I'm here for Cresta. And I guess you too, Joel. Hey, listen, I get it.
Wow.
Okay. No, I got buried on this platform. I get it. It's okay. He says, I'm watching Impact again for a month straight. Been loving their shows. I agree. It's good stuff. I'm excited. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Laredo Kid. Let's talk about Speedball Mike Bailey, the Ultimate X qualifying match. Really, really excited to see a lot of this go through. And a lot of the Ultimate X qualifying matches have been great. And they start off hot.
Yes. Just jump right in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how we're going to do it here. I like that they're still building Mike Bailey. I like that we're giving him big wins. I like that Laredo Kid's here. And I like that he's able to flip-flop and fly for everybody. And when the crowd is a little dead, Cresta, when they're not paying much attention or they're not super into it, Laredo Kid does this great thing where he will start pumping up the crowd for them.
Yeah.
And they all got into it.
I love that. And also, like, I know this is kind of cheesy, but Mike Bailey has the nicest teeth. He gives me big Karate Kid vibes, like super good guy vibes. And it's like, yo, if he eventually turns heel, oh, it's going to be so sweet. Because you're not going to expect it. I really love his style. I was surprised a little bit that he won, considering Laredo Kid is that guy. But at the same time, I'm not, because his skills to me are equal with Laredo Kid, except to me, Laredo Kid is more of a high flyer, but that man with them knees, bro, what are you going to do? I made the joke on TikTok that Ethan Page is going to come for Mike Bailey because you're taking his gimmick, Karate Man. You can't do it.
And I know we're pointing out in the chat, and I'm assuming it's Sean Ross Sapp pointing out, they taped the shows on Mother's Day. So yes, it was hard to get a big crowd the day after Under Siege. They taped it then. So yes, the crowd is not as big and it's not as hot as it was in Under Siege. They got into it at certain points, but like it was definitely different, and it's tough when you're filming on Mother's Day and, you know, maybe not everyone's coming to run over and see it. Yeah, I get it. Either way, we know Kenny King's already qualified. Obviously, Ace Austin's going to be in it because he's the X Division champion. Mike Bailey, we mentioned, gets the win after some ridiculous stuff. I mean, just to give you an idea, like Laredo Kid overshooting an acai moonsault and then almost hitting the guardrail, but still lands high on Speedball. Stuff like that really got me just really into this match. And Speedball hitting a second rope moonsault to the outside, like goes inside the ring, hits the second rope, does a moonsault to the outside, and then comes back to do a missile dropkick off the top rope and then a twisting shooting star press from the floor, basically, for two.
Yeah.
Shit like that is nuts. I love it. That's what the X Division is. Are you still pulled into every X Division match now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I'm one of those people who love like cruiserweight stuff where you're doing a lot of the flippy doos and the words of some of the old people. I love that because it takes great athleticism. And to what you were saying about how he did the moonsault, literally the finish felt like if you blinked, you missed it, because that's how fast the last part of that match was. It was really, really good. I suggest, if you guys don't know anything about these two guys, watch that match. The Laredo Kid really put on, and so did Mike Bailey.
Yeah, absolutely. We got moonsault knees to the chest from Speedball. They kick to the head. They do a reversal. Then they reverse it again. Speedball gets the three. And then they point out that Speedball's feet might have been under the ropes and the referee doesn't catch it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they're going to do anything about that. I don't know. Maybe Tom Hannifin is just kind of pointing it out just to point it out and cover his bases. For me, usually in wrestling, when your announcers point it out, it's supposed to be played up on later on. Do you think they can do anything with this? Do you think they will do anything? Does Laredo Kid deserve to be in Ultimate X? What are you thinking?
I do think Laredo Kid deserves to be in Ultimate X, and I don't know how they're going to play off of it, because both of these, well, Mike Bailey is more of your yay baby face squeaky clean type of guy, and how is Laredo Kid going to feel about that? I agree with you. Nothing to me in wrestling, especially this promotion, is not intentional. So I don't know where they go from this, or if they bring it up after the tournament is over, and Laredo Kid is like, he screwed me out of a spot, the ref didn't catch this, and now it, you know, in the event he does win, let's say he does win, I could see Laredo Kid making a case saying, no, this should be my championship, and I'd rather face you one-on-one because I think I could beat you.
Yeah, I can be down with that. Mm-hmm. I'm also down with Lily sending us a super chat saying Mike Bailey's moveset deserves a super chat.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Fully agree. By the way, you can catch Lily and I every single Tuesday on Grappy Hour, youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, Tuesdays 5 p.m. That's my cheap plug. Yeah, so I agree. There's room to maybe, if not have Laredo Kid get involved in that match in Ultimate X, at least run it back, because these two definitely have a lot of chemistry. I'd like
to
see that. Ace Austin then has a promo cutting it from Japan, where he's currently participating in Best of the Super Juniors and doing quite well, by the way.
I'm surprised. I thought he was going to get jobbed out. I'm not trying to disparage him. I'm just saying I'm surprised. Like, in the confines of wrestling, I'm not an Ace Austin fan. You're a cheater. But he's doing good for himself. He's turned it all the way around. Like he said, a lot of people said, myself included, you need help. You always need help because you're a cheater. But he's not cheating, and he's like, I'm doing it, and I'm angry about it. I don't like it. I'm happy for you, but I don't like it.
I love the fact that Ace Austin is currently doing his tag team matches for Best of the Super Junior. He's teaming with Tiger Mask, which is just like the most ridiculous tag team in my brain. So go ahead. If you haven't watched Best of Super Juniors yet, there's really good stuff going on. Ace Austin cutting a promo out there, congratulating Speedball, congratulating Kenny King, and then kind of calling back to his attempts to work with Mike Bailey and be a tag team with him, and then saying, you know what, as long as Ace is the champion, the X Division champion, everyone's always second place. Meanwhile, this is Ace Austin's third Ultimate X match. And do you know what his record is so far?
I don't.
It's a big old goose egg.
Well, I was going to say zero, but I didn't want to disparage him too much.
Hey, if you're going to talk about it, you may as well go all the way. He's 0-2 so far. So this is his third Ultimate X. What do you think? Could he walk out of Ultimate X? We got a month to go. If he walks out with the X Division Championship, what are the odds?
I mean, I want to see how far he goes in Super Juniors, because I think that's going to motivate him in the Ultimate X match. But there's a lot of heavy hit. I'm trying to think of, I want to say Rich Swann is in it, but I feel like that's absolutely wrong.
Rich Swann is not qualified just yet.
But he does have a match qualifying coming up, I think, next week.
Oh, I missed that. I don't think so. Him and Cardona are doing a thing.
Checks notes, doesn't have a note.
No, Rich Swann wants the digital media championship that Matt Cardona's got. And the Cardonas did a whole thing while they're on vacation in the mall.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
I think it's possible. This might be the win, but I think it would be funny if he went 0-3. I think it would be funny.
we'll come back a few nights after Slammiversary and either have a laugh or maybe a toast. Who knows?
You're like, either. I can't believe he did it.
I got a super chat from ShotKid29 saying, just a general question. Who are some unexpected faves from Impact? For me, Steve Macklin is awesome, and I can't believe this is...
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Is one of the Forgotten Sons. So Steve Macklin, for me, when he came in to Impact, I had fairly low expectations. The reason being, I think for the same reason that Shaq is saying, he was a forgotten son for all intents and purposes, literally a forgotten son in
literally
WWE.
I forgot he wasn't forgotten son.
There you go. And he comes in, he's made a name for himself. He's put himself in some great stories and really turned the tide on his, on his own name. I think it's great. Macklin, I'm going to agree. I'm going to echo the sentiments that Steve Macklin is that guy for me that has really shocked me and really entertained me as a member of the roster. Who you got? Is there someone on that roster that you really love and point out and has taken you by surprise?
Big Mama Pump, Jordynne Grace, all day. I love Jordynne Grace. I love her even before I was watching Impact. I was like, who is this woman? Everything about Jordynne Grace. Deonna Purrazzo is another one too, because I first met Deonna Purrazzo in WWE, and that poor girl never got a fair shake at nothing. And then to see her have a stranglehold on that title for as long as, for all the titles, for as long as she did, was Deonna Purrazzo, I feel, really didn't get a fair shake in other promotions, but this one, she's been eating it up and she's backing up everything that she says. An amazing grappler wrestler. I love her. Every day I will point out Jordynne Grace, and Deonna Purrazzo gets my, okay, I see you.
Jordynne Grace has been an absolute gem in Impact. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she hasn't gone anywhere for whatever reason, maybe it's been that she's wanted to stick around and see it, just like Josh Alexander's been that way. I think that's amazing. And Deonna Purrazzo is another one who has come in, took a wager on herself, and it's paid off every step of the way. She has been dominant. She has been proven a well-known commodity for women's wrestling. And I think that she deserves that shout out for sure. I see other people in the chat. They're talking about Brian Myers. I see them talking about Steve Macklin. People are just kind of, you know, pointing out that Deonna was there and then Macklin came in, and they're together. They are a couple. And people thought that maybe they would just kind of be there to make each other happy, when in reality, they're both having just excellent runs in Impact Wrestling.
Macklin really impressed me at not Under Siege, but Slammiversary, when he won that triple threat against Jay White and Trey Miguel. I was surprised. I thought Jay White was not, it wasn't Trey Miguel. It was Chris Sabin, because Chris Sabin hit him with, oh my God, everything is leaving me now. But he hit him with that move where he was going to win, and Macklin was like, get the hell out of my way, and got the pin. I was super surprised, and he's been cracking it. Even on the Impact after that, he was doing really well. Like, he's beyond. Like, I was like, who is this? And now when you said he was in the Forgotten, so I was like, He was.
Yeah. And another person that people are pointing out in the chat, by the way, W. Morrissey, is a really good show.
Yes.
That's a guy who not only overcame a lot of adversity, cleaned himself up, and has really become a single star. Looks great. He can cut a promo again.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago on Impact, he cut a promo when they were at the 2300 Arena and talking about how he overcame his demons, how last time he was in that arena, he was a mess and had all these issues, and now he's better. There was so much passion. When you can tell that story, it really connected me better with W. Morrissey as a character and as a human. And that's a big part of wrestling for me.
Yeah, being able to connect with people. I mean, yes, there's athleticism, and yes, there are storylines and all that stuff, but being able to connect with the crowd to show that you're human will do more for you later on than you be able to jump off of things or put someone in a stretching move or whatever it is. So, like, I'm really happy for him. I'm really happy for him that he was able to overcome all of that and then still step into the ring and put foot to butt.
Exactly. Let's get a couple of Humper chats in. This one from Zeus G. The first one says, great to see Impact get a post-show on Fightful. Really enjoyed the show overall tonight and was hoping for a Laredo Kid win, but you can't go wrong with Speedball. 100%. I agree with that. And Zachary donated a Humper chat saying, such an awesome show tonight. Impact is so consistently good and has been for well over a year. By the way, don't sleep on tonight's pre-show match. Crazy Steve versus Zicky Dice was fantastic. I need to go back and watch that.
Yeah, I had to go back and watch that as well.
I love Zicky Dice, by the way.
I am falling in love with Zicky Dice. I follow him on Twitch, and I was like, I know he wrestles, but I didn't know he wrestled. And like, we'll talk about it later. That whole segment in the locker room, I know we got difference of it. Like, that was...
We are going to get there. By the way, Graham with the super chat saying, Sean Ross asks, conversations with Steve Macklin are a good time. Well, stay tuned because there's another one coming real soon. Keep your eyes open at Fightful Select. Let's talk about that six knockouts women's match. Deonna Purrazzo, Tasha Steelz, and Savannah Evans take on the team of Jordan Grace, Taya Valkyrie, and Mia Yim. Taya is not part of the Queen of the Mountain match at Slammiversary. That I had completely forgotten that, but I'm glad commentary pointed it out. And you know what? Overall, match was really good. 30-second yes. vertical suplex from Jordan Grace on Tasha Steelz. Could you lift anyone up like that for 30 straight seconds?
I have a cat. Buddy there. You want to see that?
If you want to do it, if you can get that teddy bear and you can slay it, you got 30 seconds. I'd see if you can do it. In the meantime, I'll tell you. Oh, here we go. This is fast. I love it.
Yo, I'm right here. I'm speed demon. I've been practicing for this my whole life. Don't mind the hole in the back. He was 99 cents. So I'll do it while we do this whole. There you go. This whole interview.
This whole conversation. All right, let's move it on. Savannah Evans versus Jordan Grace, by the way, that's a one-on-one match we haven't seen yet, and I want to see those two because they are dominant, like just powerful women. I want to see Savannah Evans versus Jordan Grace. Talk to me about this match. What did you like? Maybe what you didn't like, if there's anything. Tell me. Talk to me.
To quote Big E, big meaty women slapping meat. Oh, that match yes. was so good. That match was so good. I don't care. I'm a women's wrestling shill. I love it. Seeing Taya Valkyrie in the ring again in Impact, superb. Because Frankie Monet was not the one. I love this version of her. Since Taya Valkyrie came back, Deonna Purrazzo's been having a bad time. Let's be real here. And it's like to see Taya Valkyrie be able to go in the ring, do her thing with Jordan Grace. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Tasha Steelz. She's got so much swagger. And her promos, to me, I love them. Everyone in that ring was good. And you can't go wrong with a Deonna Purrazzo putting someone's arm over their head like this. You can't go wrong.
Of course, the match was there to showcase Mia Yim. She just came back and under siege, made her return, gets a hot tag, people chanting HBIC big time.
They were chanting her before anyone was even in the ring. They wanted her so bad.
They really do. And it's cool. I love seeing Mia Yim get herself into a position where she's cheered and loved again. She twerks at Tasha Steelz.
I feel like the locker room between these girls must be so funny. They must crack the best jokes with each other.
A couple of moments. I love the moment where you had the pump kick from Savannah Evans, then the Taya German suplex to Evans to get her out of the ring, a cutter from Tasha Steelz to get her out of the ring. Mia Yim does a full Nelson suplex on Tasha Steelz to get her out of the ring. Deonna does the pump kick to get Mia Yim out of the ring, and then eventually Evans gets herself back tagged in. And it was just a really good moment of the match. They also did the slide out German suplex, Taya Valkyrie on Savannah Evans. Good little stuff like that in a knockouts division that can continue to work really well against each other. I think you got it. I think you nailed it on the head. They are friends. Go ahead.
So what do you think about the Queen of the Mountain ring? Queen of the Mountain match. Who do you think, just based off of the tag team tonight, who do you think is going to come out of that on top?
I want Tasha Steelz to win because I said this on the Under Siege post show. Tasha Steelz hasn't had the opportunity to shine as the head of the knockouts division because they've had the AAA title on the line for the last couple of times. Mm. They've had, you know, Taya Valkyrie and Deonna Purrazzo have been massive names compared to Tasha Steelz, who is currently trying to make herself from the belt. You know how there's a saying in wrestling, you know, the person makes the belt or the belt makes the person. Uh-huh. They spent a long time with Deonna Purrazzo making the belt. And now Tasha's, and actually Mickie James as well, because Mickie took the title from Deonna. And then, so then the idea of Mickie James making the belt, passing it on to Tasha, now it's supposed to make her. So now she's in that building position where I want to see her continue to win and continue to retain that title until she is an undoubtable star, because she has that. We're just waiting for her to have that number one knockouts story. What
I'm
about
gonna
you?
I'm going to go ahead and agree with you, because I do feel like if she went over on all these are phenomenal names. It'll really put her over in a big way. And I think that'll be great, like you said, for Tasha Steelz's career as Impact Women's Knockout Champion, rather. I do think, in my opinion, it'd be too soon for her to lose it. And I like Mia Yim. I think Mia Yim would be a great person to pass it back to. But I think Tasha Steelz, like you said, should have a successful defense, should really like build herself up to be like, oh, she's the one. So now you're really going to have a dogfight when you go against Ms. Steelz.
Okay, but what if it's Chelsea Green?
Okay.
Listen, she's the smart one here. She's on her honeymoon. She's not watching the product. She's just hanging out in the Maldives with her husband. They just doing their thing.
But like last month, she got put through a table.
Sure she did. Good stuff.
So I would take time off too. You guys could fight. But I don't, you know what? I'll let it play out. But that's funny. That's comedy.
Mia Yim pins Savannah Evans with the Eat Defeat. They called homage to Gail Kim. I think you were talking to me offline about your love for Gail Kim and what you wanted her to do with Queen of the Mountain.
I thought Gail Kim was going to announce herself as the last competitor for Queen of the Mountain because to me, Gail Kim is up there with like Ivory, Jackie. I see people in chat say, you look like Jazz, but yes, Jazz too. These are women that pioneered wrestling in a time where it was very much like slap you, slap me. So I would absolutely, especially what she's done for Impact Wrestling, that would be 10 out of 10. But I am glad that it's Mia Yim. But I wanted Gail Kim. I was like, say it's you, say it's you. And when she didn't, I was sad. But when she announced Mia Yim, I was happy.
Gail Kim has been such an integral part of the Knockouts division, both as a competitor and now as a backstage producer, whatever they call them back there. For her to put herself in there, I don't know if I love that, but I feel like that would be like a weird step back for the Knockouts division. I think she's super happy where she is, putting forth the new talent and getting them over. And maybe there's a place for her to come out of retirement for a match and do it up. But I don't know if I feel like Queen of the Mountain would be one hell of a way for her to show up. But I know that she's not going to do it. So it doesn't matter.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. For me.
Yeah, of course. Friends, leave a thumbs up while you're here, by the way. It helps us get us into that thing where all of our friends can see the videos that we post here on youtube.com/Fightful. And Ricardo sends a super chat saying, watching on delay, here's some love. Well, we love you too, pal. We appreciate you.
Ricardo.
And Matthew Plus sends a super chat saying, rookie question, how do I even watch Impact Wrestling? Now, first of all, this would be the question that everyone would send about Ring of Honor for a while. How do I watch Ring of Honor? Well, let me tell you how you can watch Impact Wrestling. You got a couple ways. If you're in the States, you can watch it on Access TV. Okay. If you're in Canada, I'll tell you how I watch it. I'm in Toronto, Canada. There's an option on youtube.com/Impact Wrestling to watch the show for $1 a month, just the weekly TV show. It's pretty damn good.
That's a dollar.
I pay the $5. The $5 is that Ultimate Impact Insiders thing where you get the weekly show, you get a few extra matches, and you also get the special shows that they put on that are not pay-per-views. They do quarterly pay-per-views, but once a month there's a special on their YouTube channel. For $5 a month, I found it to be super useful, and I'll give you a really good hack. The show starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern instead of 8 p.m., and it's commercial-free. So by the time you get to the main event on Access, you're already caught up and you're ahead because you saved that half hour. So for me, it's worth it. Let's do that. That's my shill for Impact Insiders, but also for you guys to send in the super chats and the humper chats that support us.
When Joel told me that, it blew my mind. You should do the same. $5.
Easy. Now, before we talk about your favorite segment, Locker Room Talk, I got a super chat from Zachary that says, I want to like Tasha more than I do. Tasha Steelz. As a wrestler and a talker, she's outstanding, but the character just doesn't work for me. Everyone loves her swagger, but it's phony swagger because she's needed Evans to secure her wins. It doesn't work. To me, that's what a heel does.
Yeah, that's heel. That's heel 101.
that's the swagger. The swagger is the fact that she can't back it up in this case. So, but she needs to back. And you know what? She did back it up with her match against Havoc because there was no Savannah Evans at Under Siege. So there's room for her to come out into her own. I agree. Using Evans as the heater can get boring, but she's a heel.
I mean, everyone does it. MJF did it with Wardlow for a while. Evans may turn on Tasha later on, but that's heel 101. Fake it till you make it. I'm the greatest. Oh, you gonna beat me up? Nah, beat up my giants. Like,
and I see in the chat, people are pointing out that Ace Austin had Madman Fulton. It's a mm-hmm. similar thing. Ace had to back it up, and his way to back it up was through Madman Fulton. So there you go. He was a heel. Thank you, Zachary, for the Humper chat. Hopefully that gives you a little bit different perspective on Tasha Steelz and how she's doing her thing. Let's talk about locker room talk. Madison Rayne, Tenille Dashwood, they say that the energy is zen without the inspiration. They beat Giselle Shaw and Alicia. They've done all the things they need to do. And then out comes my favorite. I'm going to tell everyone now. This is my favorite thing. It can do absolutely no wrong in Impact Wrestling, so don't even try to tell me otherwise. When the Swingman shows up, when Johnny Swinger shows up, I don't care how or what or where, when he shows up, I am glued to the television screen. I am watching. Because the Swingman is the man, and having Dice Daddy, Double D, Outlandish Zicky Dice is perfection. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. Hokey as can be, but perfection. Let me tell you, when they walk in and you've got Dice Daddy bringing in Swinger in the stupid WrestleMania 3 cart with the ring ropes. Come on.
What the hell is that?
Come on.
You've killed
broken Cressa in her first show.
I'm fine, but I'm glad you like it.
I love it. I love it. I know you don't love it. I see swing. They're all for the Swingman. Give me Swingman in the chat. They're all for the Swingman. Talk to me. You didn't love it. Did you at least enjoy Rosemary and Havoc stating their intentions to challenge for the Knockouts Tag Team Championships?
All I could think of in that moment was, wow, they finna cheat. I've seen Rosemary in many a match. And I've seen you, Miss Marine, in many a match. You finna cheat. You about to cheat. It's not that I didn't like the segment. It's one of those segments, like I was saying, is like, it's so like, I just gotta laugh. Let me laugh. Because it wasn't bad by any means. It was just out there. And I was sports entertained. I was thoroughly sports entertained. I did like Havoc and Rosemary challenging for the Knockouts Women Championship. But like I said, y'all finna cheat, because I can see Havoc putting you, Miss Rayne, through a table. I can see her putting Tenille Dashwood through a table.
No. My God. Really? Can't do it.
I like violence. Wait, scripted violence. Scripted, please. Scripted.
Yes, scripted violence. We're not here to pledge the real stuff. That's not our brand.
I'm squeamish. I got a soft heart.
A big fan of Rosemary and Havoc teleporting in and saying, what's a circus without a freak show? At least they understand their gimmick. At least they know. And then finally,
I like Rosemary's dark dungeon gimmick. Even when Havoc was with who was the demon priest guy that they ended up who's trying to
Father James Mitchell.
Yes. I even liked her then. It was like, Havoc, you a bully, but I'm here for it.
And of course the segment ends with a coccyx sprain for the Swing Daddy.
And leaving again on that.
On the rest of the three cards. All right. We're still backstage. We got Saban. He's doing a little bit stand-up promo, and he challenges Frankie Kazarian in a match that has about 20 years later, the Battle of the Futures. We had that. Now, I don't know, because I wasn't watching on Access, did they do the flashback
match? They did.
Okay, so they showed you Kaz versus Saban from way back when.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have to go too far into that. I had seen parts of that match before. I didn't know that they brought back some of these flashback segments, but I guess here we are.
It was really like, so I met Frankie Kazarian in AEW. So to see him have that long hair and to see Chris Sabin, who to me is like wrestling uncle dad, I love him. He looked so young. I was like, who is this man? I like the idea that 20 years later, Battle of the Futures, that's going to be great. And they announced it for next week. I cannot wait to see that, because Frankie Kazarian to me has been doing really good work. And Chris Sabin is consistently always thorough, 100% great. So I cannot wait for that match. I cannot wait to see a competitive match. And I don't think anyone's going to like cheat or do anything like that, but these two men are going to beat the crap out of each other. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah. They're OGs for this company. They're TNA originals. They were around for a long time. I'm excited to see that match. I heard really good things, so I'm going to enjoy that. Speaking of really good things, the video package they aired for Eric Young, for those who weren't the biggest fans, of Eric Young getting the title shot at Slammiversary, I think this explained it really well, especially to new fans who maybe were unfamiliar with Eric Young's time and impact before his return a couple of years ago. He talks about coming up in wrestling as a fan, getting tickets to WrestleMania 3 from his dad, you know, and then later on his transition to TNA when he was in Team Canada with his pal Bobby Roode. They signed contracts without looking at them, only to get slapped in the face by Scott D'Amore. He didn't mention Scott by name, but he, you know. Yeah. And then he talks about doing everything while talking about doing everything and running with it.
Yeah.
And it was just a really well done package. Tell me, did anything stand out for you about Eric Young? Are you looking forward to Young and Alexander at Slammiversary? What do you got?
So I think that the video package, like you said, put over Eric Young really strong. I remember him from Sanity and then seeing him go back to Ring of Honor. For them to give, not Ring of Honor, sorry, Impact, for them to give us context from his time in TNA to now, I agree. Like, he's like, I've done everything you've asked of me. Everything. And everything you've asked of me, even if it was a joke, I made it go over. So why are you all confused? I want this title shot. Josh Alexander, 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, his matches with Moose, even when he won it and Moose took it right away and then regained it again, 10 out of 10. So I do expect a violent by design match because Josh Alexander is not going to back down. I expect shenanigans, but I expect Alexander to retain. I do think it's going to be a really good match, but I think Josh Alexander is going to retain. I hope he retains, but I could see him retaining. What do you think?
I think Josh Alexander retains. Mm-hmm. I think the match will still be very, very good, maybe with some schmoz from VBD.
Yep.
But it might also be one of those... So someone in the chat saying I didn't like the package for EY made him come off as a babyface. That might actually be foreshadowing. There's an opportunity after so long to turn Eric Young face and maybe even at Slammiversary send back Violent by Design if they try to get involved. If Joe Doering and Cody Deaner, let's say they run down to the ring, or he goes to the ring with them and then he sends them to the back, that's a babyface move, and it could be useful moving forward in Impact Wrestling for Eric Young to maybe try a different spot because he hasn't been a babyface there for a while.
I think there's also nothing wrong with making your heels a little sympathetic as well. Because it's like, I can understand the character motivation. I can understand what you're doing. I may not like it, but I can understand it. Because I'm trying to think of an example when... I can't in this moment. So we're going to move past that point. But the point I'm trying to make is like, it's okay to do things like that to make them not so one-dimensional. Like, I'm just a jerk to be a jerk. You can feel sympathy for him and still want Josh Alexander to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Josh Alexander retorts, says, you know, he wants the future. He wants to be the future of the and the face of the company moving forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, said Eric's going to have to bring the fight of his life. It's a good setup between, you know, the old school of TNA Impact Wrestling in Eric Young and then Josh Alexander, who's going to be the future and wants to be the face moving forward. I like that.
Yeah. Same.
Good setup. Next up, we've got a what I call leftovers. Taven and Bennett, OGK, taking on Good Brothers. Listen, I didn't love this match. I loved parts of this match. I love parts of it. I wanted, first two things, I got to put this out into the ether in case anyone's watching. The jacket, the Bullet Club jacket that Carl Anderson's wearing, if you've got a line as to where I can get one, please let me know. I want one. That's number one. Number two, if you've got a line on the Impact tracksuit that Ace Austin and Chris Sabin were wearing tonight, I would like one. Please let me know. Send me the merch. Let me have it. I want all the Impact and Bullet Club jacket stuff. Let's do that. Maria Kanellis is on commentary. Everyone else is sent to the back. OGK Good Brothers, that's the gimmick. That match was fine. But the Good Brothers, like, at least they're wrestling with this renewed passion, right? Like, what do you think of the match? What did you like? What did you not like?
How many times does Maria Kanellis got to interfere before you get a woman onto your Bullet Club? How many times?
They got Yujiro Takahashi with Peter.
Everybody else went to the back. How many times is she going to use her man? Come on now. I thought the match was okay. I could see where you guys say it was boring, but I thought the match was okay, but I'm also a Luke Gallows stan. But that being said, it's like, at some point, y'all gonna have to get even with this woman like Morrissey did with Chelsea Grease, because she keeps interfering in all of your matches. If you want to hire someone, I'm sure you could pay Deonna Purrazzo to go beat someone up. She enjoys that sort of thing. So like that. And I don't know. I thought the match was fine. Again, I'm a big Bullet Club Luke Gallows stan, but that's just me. My problem here is how many times is she going to trick you with the same trick, old man? How many times?
Well, it doesn't matter because it got her caught. They tried to do the Maria hits on Carl Anderson. For those mm-hmm. who know, you know. And then what happens next? Anderson just keeps talking shit. And then all of a sudden, Maria gets in the ring and distracts the referee. And then what happens? Maria, as she gets in the ring, gets a spear from Mike Bennett, from some nice husband and wife spearing on Impact Wrestling. That's what we do. Anderson and Bennett kind of fight about, look what you did to your wife. How could you do that to your wife? And then Anderson hits a gun stun, gets the win, and then he shrugs. And I thought it was cute because he no-sold it, whereas in the past, Carl Anderson would be like completely enamored and like just done with Maria. But no, this time it was different. And Anderson gets the win. Good Brothers defeat OGK. Again, it felt like a leftovers match because that 5-on-5 match from Under Siege was supposed to be, to me, the blow off of that feud.
Okay, I can see what you're saying. Yeah, no, absolutely. I see what you're saying. I mean, I still liked it. I was entertained.
Fair. Hey, listen, that's wrestling. It's something different for everybody. We're good. We'll get to that in a minute. Sammy Callahan does his, first of all, it's the real news from Sammy Callahan dropped tonight. And that's he's going to be teaming with his former tag team partner from the Switchblades, John Moxley, at the Wrestling Revolver on July 9th in Iowa.
How did I miss that?
It was on the Twitter. You got to pay attention to the tweeters.
I apologize for nothing. I'm kidding.
Meanwhile, Sami Callihan has a segment in the back, a little pre-tape, says he's been in isolation, thinking about what he's going to do to Moose, break his leg, get even. But no, instead he wants to make Moose life a living hell. Are you looking forward to Sami Callihan versus Moose? Is this like a match that you really want to see at Slammiversary, or would you have rather seen it on maybe a week of Impact TV?
This is heel versus heel, because I don't really care for Sami Callihan, but I care for Moose a lot less. So it's one of those things where it's like, ooh, who's really the winner? Me, because you're going to beat up each other. But honestly, Moose has it coming. For what he did to Josh Alexander, I know how Sami Callihan give it up. I seen him do it to she who shall not be named is TB. I've seen mm-hmm. him do it to Eddie Edwards. I've seen him do it to plenty of other champions. So Moose, you have it coming. You have this coming. So I want Sami Callihan to terrorize this man. But at the same time, if Sami Callihan gets beat up,
did you know I saw Chicago on Broadway? That's how old I am.
I'm in New York, so
you're still watching like the off Broadway production of Chicago.
Because you know they always got one in New York. They always got a Chicago and a Cats.
Yes, and then someone's doing like the off Broadway of a Phantom somewhere, and then there's the on Broadway.
There's the on. I don't know if it's still on. Is it? I don't know. I haven't been over there. The tickets are too high. My rent is too high as well.
I get it. Sierra Mouse sends a super chat, says, I haven't watched tonight's Impact yet, but here to support the post show. Thank you. Been wanting one for a while. Glad to see it's finally here. Slammiversary is in 1 month and I will be front row. That's awesome. I hope you enjoy Slammiversary. The show's going to be just lit. I'm stoked to see what's going to happen. We will have a post show here on youtube.com/Fightful. That will be hosted by Steven Jensen and Denise Salcedo. Keep that locked. And the weekly shows are going to be myself and Crest the Star. We're going to keep going. All right, let's talk about Masha Slamovich and Shauna Reed. Have you ever seen Shauna Reed perform before? If your answer is yes, I'm calling you a liar.
I wasn't even going to lie. I went to the bathroom really quick and I came back and that match was over. I was like, damn, baby, you was in the ring and get an intro. Damn.
Good, quick build for Masha Slamovich. Boot to the face in the bottom rope. Pulls up for two. Hits a snow plow because she loves her Al Snow. That's three count. And then Havoc appears. Confronts Masha Slamovich. Next week they're going to do that match. I can see it in your face. I think you're a little excited.
Big meaty women slapping meat. Yes, yes, yeah, yo, yes, 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 yes.
That's there's a yes. There's like this dominant size discrepancy that's going to be involved. I'm really excited for this. It's going to be very much like a Masha slams Havoc moment. People are going to be really excited, I think.
I think she can. She's got the power. Yes.
Apparently I'm burying AW Dark because the girl Masha Slamovich beat tonight worked the show last year a couple of times. I try to watch Dark and Elevation, but Shauna Reed, I haven't seen Shauna yet. That was my first time seeing Shauna Reed. Anyway, let's move on. We're backstage with Raj Singh and Shira. They're calling out Bhupinder Gujar again. I've enjoyed the matches. I've enjoyed the setups. I like that they're trying to involve more Indian talent on the show. It's always been a part of Impact's kind of history. I'm ready for them to move from having the three Indians on the show in a thing together. Yeah. Or not even in a stable. I just don't want a story together. I'm ready for like Bhupinder Gujar to move over and do something else because he's a baby face. You can have him build and then have Raj Singh and Shira. Maybe if they're not going to tag, have Shira be like this big badass dude who goes after someone who knows who. Either way, we're going to get W. Morrissey going to team up with Gujar. He comes to his aid. And then when Gujar says, I don't know how I feel about this, Morrissey says, there's nothing wrong with taking a helping hand when it's offered. I like it. Wasn't so bad.
That was sweet. I liked it. It was human.
Yeah. Was there anything you want to add to that segment?
I say, stop trying to bully this man. He's already told you no, like 3 weeks in a row, bro. Like, he don't want to be with you. Like, let it, pack it up. Go home, be a family man. Leave this man alone. He doesn't want to join your group. And now the both of y'all have to fight this man who's super athletic in the ring and a 7 foot tall guy. Good job. You did it to yourself.
Oh, I can only think. The one thing I'm going to miss is that Jordynne Grace and W. Morrissey had a tag team. They were tag teaming for a short while. Did you?
Oh, because they did do that. The tag team match at not Under Siege, the one before Rebellion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, do you know what they named their tag team?
What?
So, W in W. Morrissey stands for Will and Jordynne Grace. Yeah, they call their team Will and Grace.
I'm hanging.
They even released a t-shirt. They even released a t-shirt, and it's actually really, really fun. So, anyway, little thing. Matthew, thank you for the super chat saying signed up for Impact Monthly. Thank you. Here's a thank you chat. Well, good. Glad you can join us. Glad you can be a part of it. And thank you for the support. Yeah. All right. Before we get to the main event, before we get to that big, big match, a couple of things that happened kind of in the background. Josh Alexander, they were showing this like two-part commercial where the first one is like this what's in the box. And then part two, it's a TNA montage. What do you think we're doing? They're going to do a whole bunch of like throwback to 20 years of TNA and talking about AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, CM Punk was on the screen for a second, Scott Steiner with the Steiner Math promo, Sting, so many more featured. What do you think? Are we going to see a lot of past Impact stars make appearances? And is there anyone that you really want to see show up at Slammiversary to make an impact, if you will, or at least just an appearance?
So I wasn't watching Impact way back in the day or even TNA when it first came out. So I'm going into this not completely new, but mostly new. I think it would be cool to see someone like Kurt Angle or the infamous, you know, they say all men are created equal. It'd be nice to see Big Papa Pump pull up, but I have no idea. And I'm super excited. At first I was like, is this spooky? Is this a Rosemary? Are we going underground? And then when the second one played, I was like, okay, I could see them tossing things back. I could see them, but I don't know how it's going to play out, but I do know I'll be watching. It would be nice to see some people come back, but like Ric Flair's been training and I don't know if I want Ric Flair to come back there, like not for Slammiversary, you know what I mean? So like, I'm hoping it'll be good, but I'm gonna watch how it plays out.
Imagine Scott Steiner, who just joined the WWE Hall of Fame, pulling up an Impact and having one of those that he'll show up in WWE and Impact in the same calendar year before The Rock does it, because The Rock showed up when they had Ken Shamrock join the Hall of Fame. They had The Rock show up on Impact show up on Impact before he even showed up again in WWE. So I want Scott Steiner to show up in both just to be like, I did it before that fat ass The Rock.
That would be so funny. I can hear Jeff Jarrett now. Oh, goddamn. Sorry. Oh,
Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett is absolutely going to show up. He is 100%.
That's his home. WWE is his home, but Impact is his home.
People talking about Kevin Nash. People talking about actually America's Most Wanted, and they have shown up. They did a six-man tag not too long ago. Mm. So there's an opportunity there. You never know. We'll see. That'll be at Slammiversary.
Main Event Mafia too.
Yeah, there you go. I think Kurt Angle's a pretty good shout. I think we'll see him at Slammiversary. Main event time, folks. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in at humperchats.com because guess what? We're poor, apparently, I'm being told. listen, I don't know. Cresta, she ain't cheap, man. She really commands a big, she commands a big fee, and we got to make it worth her while. That's what we got to do.
Rent is high in New York. I see none of that. All of that goes to my rent.
I hear you. Tag titles are on the line. The new champions, them boys, the Briscoes, taking on Violent by Design. This time, it's Joe Doering and Diener. And I know what happens when Diener's in a match with VVD. It's just the way it goes. But meanwhile, I've got Ricardo the Mark saying, "Dem boys," or why I'm subscribed to Impact on YouTube. Thank you for the super chat. It's one of the reasons why I am too. Good match. Fun match. Shocking finish. I enjoyed myself. What did you think, VVD and Briscoes? There was some a really good two-on-one stuff from Mark Briscoe launching himself out at Joe Doering. Almost misses, by the way, and then Doering kind of gets him close enough. But overall, I like the match, and Eric Young gets involved only a little bit in the match to make it good enough for me. Anything from this match really stand out at you?
I love the Briscoes. Like I said, first saw them with FTR versus the Briscoes. Any match that they get is great. I feel bad for Cody Diener because I remember watching when Cody just wanted to get drunk and have a good time. And now look at you, brainwashed. Poor guy. Poor guy. But like the match itself was good. I honestly thought they were really going to super cheat to win. And then when they cheated and then still lost, I was like, Eric Young is going to beat you guys all the way up. So like, I mean, I get the post-match beatdown too. I get it because you're mad that you lost and you cheated and you still lost. But, you know, if you lost and you didn't cheat, you only cheated yourself. So I understand it. But at the same time, it's like, you wasn't beating the Briscoe.
Good point. There's one spot I got to talk about. And it's a very simple spot. It was so just under the radar. I don't think you would have noticed it if you didn't just see it. It was a power slam and then an elbow from Joe Doering on Mark Briscoe. And it was the elbow was just, it looked like he lost his footing after the power slam Joe Doering did. And then he just went into the ropes and hit the elbow right after that. That was planned. That is a spot that he does. And it looks like he was losing his footing, losing his balance. And then he just hit the elbow. That's legitimately a move that he does. And it looks really cool because it's not a thing that you would normally see in sequence. I really wanted to point that out because if you see it again, it's really neat and it's good stuff. Finishes, Briscoes go for the doomsday device. Doering tries to stop it. Diener is punching Jay Briscoe on his shoulders until there's a roll up, but instead Briscoe blocks it, gets a surprise three count. Finish, kind of shocking. Did it do it for you? Were you expecting something bigger? What did you think of the finish?
Again, I thought they were going to cheat to win, and I feel like other promotions will desensitize you to surprise roll-ups, but I think this was a great use of it here. I don't think it takes away from either people because at the end, VBD decided they wanted to cheat, didn't prosper, and then boys were quicker than that, if you will. So it's a good finish. I would like a clean finish, but I could see a clean finish being for a bigger event or even like in 2 weeks' time to keep building it up because Impact is good at watch next week. You better watch next week. You want the next week. So they're really good on that. So I could see that, no, you got a cheap shot. Fight us again and other tag teams. Like, no, you're at the back of the line. You had your rematch. Get out of here. It's a great way to plant storylines with you. So I could pull from wherever I need.
At the end of the match, we have Eric Young showing up, getting involved finally again. Josh Alexander comes out, clears house. Young and Alexander are face-to-face just smiling at each other maniacally because that's what both men are going to do until Diener and Doring attack Alexander. The Briscoes come in, they even the odds. I'm not a betting man, but if I were, a six-man tag would probably be where I go with this. Violent by Design teaming up with the Briscoes and Josh Alexander. I like seeing that. I hope that we don't see Diener and Doring versus the Briscoes again at Slammiversary. So I'll ask you, is there a tag match that you want to see happen at Slammiversary?
I feel like this has been done a million times, but come on, Rich Swann and Willie Mack. Come on, come on.
Where we can't with Willie Mack. Willie's gone. Willie finished up with Impact. Yeah, man.
Wasn't he just wrestling at Rebellion?
Rebellion, yeah, but Under Siege, that was it. He was done. He was done before before Rebellion. Before Under Siege.
I'm a scam artist, as it turns out. I don't know anything about professional wrestling.
It's okay. It's one of those things. Honestly, I was one of those people who, by the way, I was beating the drum for those two, for Swann and Mack to get a tag title match. So I could see, like, listen, I would love to see them reteam. Willie Mack could come back. So, like, I'm not gonna tell you you're wrong, but you know, right now seems like Willie Mack's out of Impact. So, we'll see. We'll see who's next.
Well, I honestly then am just like, well, whoever it is, even with Violent by Design, I think it'll be a good match. But them boys, whoever it is gonna be a good match. They're gonna get a good match out of you, and you're gonna get a good match out of them. So I'd be surprised to see who they pick and how that's gonna play out.
I have a feeling it's gonna be them boys and the Good Brothers.
I was just thinking, I was like, but maybe that's too soon, but I could see it.
I don't think the Briscoes are going to be there for long in Impact. I think they're there just to elevate the tag titles again and then put them on the next team. The question is who that team is. I've said it in other places. I think that Heath and Rhino might be the guys to take it. And the reason I said that is because to get the tag title shot that the Briscoes got to win the tag titles, they had to beat and Rhino. And then Heath and Rhino are now telling the story where they're trying to rise up the ranks of the tag division again in Impact Wrestling to get their shot. And if that is the story that comes full circle, and you kind of go in and out of it, you can tell little bits and pieces there. Not at Slammiversary. I will say that now. Heath and Rhino later on winning the titles after the Briscoes keep it for a little bit longer.
I can see that. That does make sense. It's kind of like a neat way to, you started it here. Let's end it here the way that it would have happened if you didn't come into Impact that night.
Yeah, I'm seeing the chat. Motor City Machine Guns. That's another one I would love to see.
They're not a tag team. Never mind.
No, I want to hear it now.
I was like, isn't Chris Bay tagging with someone? But no, he's not.
Chris Bay and Hikaleo show up. There you go.
Oh, Chris Bay,
Jay White. There you go.
Come on, brain.
Oh, folks, we're going to do this every single Thursday from here on out. After Impact Wrestling goes off the air, myself and Cresta Starr, we're going to be here breaking down the show. We're going to be talking about it all the time. If you want more content here at youtube.com/Fightful, we've got post shows for AEW. We've got post shows for WWE Raw and SmackDown. We've got, what else do we have? We've got Grab City every Saturday. We've got post pay-per-views. We got Listen Your Boy Wednesday afternoons. And if you don't want anymore, but you know you do, go subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It's the easiest, $5, easier than getting the Ultimate Impact Insiders. It's $5 a month, and you get all the news from Sean Ross Sapp, all the real news, all the accurate news, all the real deal, plus his Q&A, where you can get all your questions in, and backstage reports, and Alex's sour graps, because everyone wants to talk about the things that they don't love about wrestling, but they want to talk about it in a certain way. So you can get Alex's sour graps. I think I'm done the pitch. Go to Fightful Overbooked. Go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. I've got a super chat here from Graham saying this was fun. Catch you guys every week. We'll be here every single week after Impact Wrestling. Cresta Starr, where can the people find you on the internet?
You can find me on twitter.com/CrestaTheStar with two E's. Everywhere else is /CrestaStar, CrestaStar, because I'm a pirate. Mainly on TikTok. Again, wait, I have to double check. That TikTok is also CrestaTheStar with two E's to see all of my wrestling reacts. This was a lot of fun. Do I kick it back to you and say, Joel, where can they find you? Where can the people find you, Joel?
No one ever does that, but we'll do it for once. By the way, if you go to Cresta's Twitter, there is a Linktree link. Go there. It's got all the stuff she just talked about. Yeah. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. That's everywhere you find me. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.